Summer School Truth 2017, Outline 13, Reigning in Life, the Kingdom Reward, and the New Jerusalem.
Oh, we want to learn to enjoy a taste for your word. Amen. Let it indwell us, fill us, and overflow in us.
Amen.
Amen. We turn to Outline 14, Living a Normal Christian Life by Speaking the Word of Christ.
Amen.
Let's read through Roman numeral 1, A and B. And also, open up your Bibles to Hebrews 1, 1-3.
Amen.
Amen. God desires that man speak for him. A, God created man in his image so that man would express him by speaking for him. B, God created man to represent him by speaking for him. Oh, Lord. Hebrews 1, 1-3. God, having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers and the prophets, has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the universe, who being the effulgence of his glory and the impress of his substance, and upholding and bearing all things by the word of his power, having made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise the Lord, our God is a speaking God. In Genesis, he would speak through the prophets.
Amen.
He would speak through Moses and from different persons.
Amen.
But today, he's speaking in us.
Amen.
As the living spirit indwelling within us.
Amen.
Let's pay attention over to this phrase, upholding and bearing all things by the word of his power.
Amen.
This word in Greek is rhema, which has been translated as which has been uttered by the living voice. It can also be translated as instant. So this is an instant and living word that speaks to us.
Amen.
This, we need to develop a taste for this particular word. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
Amen.
The beautifying function of the word of God is for the church to be prepared for Christ's glorious bride. And the killing function of the word of God is for the church to function as God's corporate warrior in slaying his adversaries. Saints, if we want to be ready for the Lord's second coming, we need to be ready as his bride. This means we need to prepare in two ways. Let's open our Bibles for the sisters on Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. And then the brothers on Ephesians 6, 17 and 18.
Amen.
Okay, sisters on Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Saints, it's more than just a growth in maturity. There's also the matter of being free from any spot or wrinkle. According to the footnotes in here, a spot is related to our naturalness, and a wrinkle refers to our oldness. The Lord wants us to be perfect for him, and we can only do that by enjoying the word. It's also interesting to note here that the washing of the water in the word, this word in Greek is also rhema, and it's still instant. It's a metabolic change that occurs over here. It means it's an active change when we have this word of Christ dwell within us. Point A, as the bride, the church must be beautiful, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The beautifying of the church by Christ as the life-giving spirit is through sanctifying the church, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word.
Amen.
Amen. Point B, we need to receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, Amen. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in Spirit to experience the killing power of God's Word, to be applied to us to deal with the elements of the adversary within us. Amen. Brothers, can you read Ephesians 6, 17, and 18 up to perseverance and by means of all prayer and petition on 18. And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in Spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all saints. In this section, Paul is writing on how to deal with spiritual warfare, and he gives us 6 or 7 items to fight with. But it's interesting to note that in that particular section, there's only one item worth attacking. Everything else is for defense. What is the one item that we have for the offense? Yes. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. What do you think that word over there is translated in from the Greek? It's also rhema, instant word. How do we have this instant word indwell with us? What is the, in 3 different places I just mentioned about the Lord desiring to speak through man through knowing his word and its dwelling inside. But how do we let this word arbitrate within us? Let's read through. Let's pull open Colossians 3:15 and 16. And whoever has it, let's begin. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. All right, who wants to take a guess at what this word means? This word translated into Greek for let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Anyone want to hazard a guess? Okay. Odd. You got me. Yes, it's logos. This is translated in the Greek. This is referred to a thought that's been said already through discourse, or it could also be translated as constant word. It could be considered our Bible. The Bible is logos, it's verses on the page, until we memorize it and we let it become part of our being. So I was asking the difference between logos and rhema. Okay. So the logos word is the constant word. This is what's in the Bible. The rhema word becomes the instant word to us when the Spirit speaks to us. But we can only have that rhema if we've been exposed to that word, if we've let that word occupy our vessel. You know, we need logos and rhema. How do we get from this logos over to this rhema? It actually is mentioned here in this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. To let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, this is part of us getting more oil. We have our spirit here. We have our soul and our body. This is our 3-part vessel. But to let the oil overflow from the Spirit, we need to be constituted with the Word. Sometimes we might even just singing some hymns together might work. scriptural songs, such as that Christ's name make his home in my heart, let him felt in every part, saturating eyes in part, that with all saints I may apprehend the vast dimensions of thy loving Christ. Okay, that was a little too low. But you know, these are different ways that we can get into it. But I also want to focus on this matter of the taste. What is your favorite food in the world? Let me see. Okay. Sushi. Okay. Where's your favorite sushi place at? Mizumi. Oh, that's in Long Island, on the Long Island. So it's about 30 minutes off the hall. I'd have to confess, I'm a little bit of a foodie over in New York. So did you have a favorite food? Cup noodles. Oh, you don't have to go too far from that. But there's specific tastes involved there. There's a saltiness over there. Sushi has a varied bit of taste. I'll relate to you this story about the matter of our taste. Some college saints actually invited me to go for bubble tea. They said, there's a grand opening. Buy one, get one half off. Do you know how long? College students, they love their bubble tea. They have, oh, there's a different variety. There's a new shop you got to try out. Do you know how long I had to wait for that bubble tea? Yes, you heard. 2 hours for that bubble tea. I don't know what college students enjoy from that additional taste. Next time, I'm just going to wait for the hype to die down. But that's a taste that they all particularly crave for and enjoy. And this is the same way that we need to be with the word. But to get to that point, we have to develop it. We have to be in it every single day. Here at the Summer School of Truth, we've been enjoying having quiet time with the Lord and pray reading it. But when you get back home, you need to continue to have this practice. You know, initially, I didn't enjoy the taste of pork and chive dumplings. It's just something that didn't really grow with me coming up. Every time I would eat it as a kid, I would just, yeah. But as I grew older, I actually have grown accustomed to this different taste. But that only came from repeated enjoyment and tasting of it. So, now what happens when we let this word of Christ dwell in us richly? That's the other point, and indwelling within us. This dwell over here in Greek means literally to be in a house, to indwell and to inhabit. How many of you have sleepovers at your house? Just curious. Or just invite your friends over to stay overnight. Let's not call it sleepovers. Okay. Now, brother, when you have people stay over at your home, do you let them have free reign over every place? What was that?
Except my mom's room.
Except your mom's room. Okay. Who else raised their hand about having saints over to their house overnight? Let's see. Okay. This brother over here. Yes. Or anyone. Do you let them have free reign over your house? Oh, it depends on what it is. So if they asked if they wanted to change the wallpaper in your home, oh, I see your expression just delayed something different over there. So this word dwelling means to make home. It still refers to us letting the Lord occupy more parts of our being. You know, the Lord wants to make home in every part of our heart, not just closed off in certain places. So rooms in your house, oil in your vessel, you know, this is letting the Christ indwell within us. And what is the end result of this? Let's look at Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Okay, for those that have it, that you may be blameless and guileless children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the word, holding forth the word of life, so that I may have a boast in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. The luminaries in Greek here is foster, which can also be translated as to get light from another source. So when we shine as luminaries, this isn't a light that is from ourselves. This is from the Lord himself after he's learned, after he's indwelled in us with his word and his anointing and his speaking. So as an example of when we have this, this becomes our normal condition and we can overflow Christ to others. So my brief experience about this, when I was in middle school and high school and recently saved, I somewhat didn't enjoy, I always felt a little bit uncomfortable. I'm in New York City, it's fairly liberal, and I had a bunch of Muslim friends and other friends. I didn't feel comfortable sharing my faith. I would say I would silo it. How many of you are familiar with a nuclear silo? Okay, brother over here. No, not a nuclear power plant, a nuclear silo.
But in the nuclear power plant,
not necessarily. Not necessarily. Okay, we'll get some. It's a housing that contains a deadly weapon of mass destruction. So that's a very strong term, but that's how often I would feel with some of the my friends when it came to them. As soon as they would start talking about Christ, I wouldn't let the word of Christ arbitrate me. I would seal them off, and I'd be very wary of anyone else coming in. This isn't the normal condition. I've learned since then that we need to let the word of Christ arbitrate in our hearts. At work now, every time people ask me about my faith, I do mention to them that I am a Christian. In fact, this is part of my normal conversations as I go serve the saints here. Before I came over to the Summer School of Truth, I was actually discussing with a coworker over lunch what I was planning to do here. I was able to speak the word of Christ I was able to talk about the paper example I showed you a few days ago about following the anointing of life within us and that God desires to have his expression and representation on the earth in Genesis 1:26. He was accepting of it and he got the point. So your point is that we just follow this indwelling Christ within us? I said, exactly. So, and then afterwards, we continued our normal course of conversation, which would be work or, in his case, he likes tennis or music production. But it should flow freely. This is, the normal Christian living is to let the word of Christ just overflow from the riches within.
I have a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So, for those who just joined us today or yesterday, my name is William Kwong. I am from the church in New York City in Brooklyn. So I'm glad to be with you today. Just to continue with what Brother James said earlier, maybe we can just read the title of this outline again. Again, we're on message or outline number 14, right?
Amen.
So what is the title of this outline? So by what?
Speaking the
word of Christ. So this time, we're going to talk about speaking, right? Just like what a brother said earlier, we all have maybe a different level or different degree of speaking. Well, actually, you know what? We speak all the time. If you don't speak, then you are not a human. Right? And actually, the human tongue or the human language is very unique. different animals communicate, some by sound, some by different patterns, some by the color of their feathers. But we, human beings, are unique in that we communicate uniquely by speaking. And so we speak all the time. And you know what? Actually, what you read earlier, do you remember what it was, the first verse that you, those of you who took notes or who remember, what was the first verse that you read this morning? Who remembers? Hebrews 1, 1, 2, 3. Can we read Hebrews 1, 1, and 2 again? Okay. Okay. Those of you have it. So, not just us human beings in this universe are speaking. God is also speaking. Actually, you know what? We are created, what? What was Genesis 1, 26 and 27 tell us? The two verbs that we are looking for. What are we created for? To what? And what for God? To express Him and to represent Him, right? So what is the best way to express someone? Is by, how do you, speaking. So actually, you know what? We are created to express God, and one way to do that is by speaking. Speaking. Imagine no speaking. Any expression? A little bit. Maybe a smiling face. But no expression. Do you know what I was thinking? No. You express, you speak. When you speak, you express. So, speaking, let me ask you this question. Those of you who are second-generation Christians, that is, your parents are believers, but not your grandparents. And now you're a believer, so you are second generation. Raise your hand. Your parents, okay? Okay. Whoa, so like half, okay. What about third-generation Christian? Third, grandpa, grandma. Oh, good number. What about fourth generation Christians? Oh, fourth. Great-grandma. Great-grandma. Anyone know fifth? Oh, that's like over a century ago. We may be. It's possible. It's possible. But we just don't. Maybe we don't know. What about first generation Christian? Raise your hand. First generation. Oh. Oh, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, the sister got saved. Yeah. Me too. Me too. I'm a first generation Christian, yes, amen. So how did we become a Christian? Richard, how did you end up sitting here where you are today? If you really think deep, and I don't know if I...
I'm here because I love the Lord.
Amen, amen. Do you know what? I would say you are here, number one, because you love the Lord. And number two, you have God's life. You are a believer. And if you're not a believer and you're sitting here, we hope you will become a believer soon. But you know what? How did we become a believer? How did we receive Christ? If you think of it, how did you, those who grew up in the church, how did you receive the Lord? Okay, yes, I know one day, you know, I was in a meeting and someone, you know, did something and then I pray and I received the Lord. That is true. But did you just receive the Lord all by yourself? You know, there was, in the New Testament, there was one person very, very unique. This person received the Lord by actually having the Lord Jesus preaching the gospel to him. Speaking from heaven. Do you know who that is? Paul or Saul, right? From the heaven, he was traveling, and then the Lord just struck him with light, and he fell down, and the first thing he said is, and the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And from there, the Saul heard the gospel. But you know what? Sometimes I wish, like, I would have that kind of experience. But it's for all of us here, probably. None of us. Well, how did we receive the gospel? Huh? Someone spoke to us. Who spoke to Helen, how did you, who spoke to you about the gospel?
My mom and dad.
Oh, your mom and dad. Friend at the church, and who probably got someone from somebody else, right? So you see, brothers and sisters, the gospel is what? It's spread by someone speaking God's word. And so the fact that you are here is a result of someone speaking to you. So let's go to Romans 10, 14, okay? Let's read Romans 10, 14. And you may also write this down, what I have on the board. Okay, if you have it, go. So let's say the last phrase again. What is the last phrase?
How shall they be heard without one who proclaims him?
That's right. So how would one hear the gospel if no one's preaching the gospel? No one is speaking. Have you had this experience? Or maybe sometimes you have a burden, right? We pray. We all pray. Two nights ago, we have a burden. We certainly have a burden for our friends. But when we get back to school, hi. And what was the next thing we're going to, what do you talk with your friend a lot?
About what you did at school.
Huh?
What you did at summer.
In the summer, and okay. And what else? What else do you talk about? When you're with your friends, what do you talk about? Everything. Like, what's the first thing comes to your mind?
Candy.
Huh?
Candy.
What?
Candy.
Candies. Okay. He likes. Why do you talk about candy?
Good.
It's good. I think Christopher likes candy. What do you don't talk about candy, right? Do you? No. What do you talk about?
What grade we got in the test.
Oh, okay. School. How well do you do in school? What else? What do you talk about? I know at work, people talk about sports. Oh, the Giants, right?
Oh, right.
Oh my goodness. I know Boston. I know those things from Boston. Well, not the people from Boston. They like to talk a lot about the two teams. Yeah, the Patriots, right? Or and the Red Sox. Yeah, Red Sox. So. Who is a Who's a Red Sox fans here? No one? Oh, okay. Okay. So, but that's what people, why do people talk about, you know, when you're with your friends or we talk about candies or school grades, what else? Sports or some may be, oh, the latest clothes. Yeah, what else? Yeah. What do you have for lunch? Food. Food, just like our brother said, right? Food. Oh, yes. Yes. Other people, right? So why do you talk about these things? Like, or how come this so spontaneous? It comes out of you. Why? Oh, some will be, oh, what is the latest movies, the summer blockbusters. What was that? Spider-Man? No, not Spider-Man. Huh? What was that?
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, Spider-Man Homecoming. Okay, I don't know. The fifth installment? Or... Why? You know, here is... I'm a little thirsty. Who's thirsty? Oh, I'm thirsty. Okay. Water. Sometimes, you know, we feel like brother Frank just took a drink also. He was thirsty. And sometimes, you know, what is this? A sponge, right? Sometimes this is like us. In what way? When it comes to what? It comes to speaking. Actually, speaking for the Lord, speaking to our friends. You feel this? Wet or dry? Dry. Okay. No water. Very dry. And sometimes, do you feel like you have a burden for your friend and you're burdened for their salvation, but you just don't know what to say or you have nothing to tell them? Dry like a sponge, right? But maybe we'll do, okay. This is a dry one. This is also dry. And you know what I'm doing, right? You know what I'm going to do. I hope I won't mess it up. It's a little wet. Feel it again. It's clean. Oh, I can see water. Raise your hand. Okay, there's a little water. But do you feel, is it still all wet or what? Some of it. And what do we do? Continue to fill it? Oh, more water now. Let's see. Oh, there's more water. How about we put in more? Now it's being more, what? Filled up more. There's more. And, oh, this can take on a lot of water. Now this is soaked with what? With water. I don't even need to rinse. I think it's just like coming out. Like, do you want water?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, I don't, do you need to touch it?
No.
No? Well, let me show you. This is really like soaked. Oh, leaking. Don't you want to be like this when you're with friends? What? You're so filled with water that, you know what? You can touch it. Ooh, actually, you know what? There's some water. Oh, there's some water. Do you want? Who wants water? Who wants it? Oh, yeah, here. Oh. Oh, back there. Is this an advert to get you water? No, sorry. Oh. Here.
Me.
Why? There's no effort. Water just comes out. Water just comes out. Do you need to try? You're so filled with water. And this is what the normal Christian life should be. You should be filled with, let's read Ephesians 5, okay? Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Okay, do we have it? Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, go.
And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit.
Amen.
Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord.
Amen. So this is Ephesians 5, 18 to 19. So if you want to speak, you need to be filled. And how do you fill? How do you get filled in spirit? Right? When you're filled, then it's easy. It comes out spontaneously. You don't need to squeeze. It just comes out. Everyone contacts you. They get it. They get the water. They get the spirit. So how do we get filled? How do you get filled with the Lord? Practically, I would say we need to be filled with his word. Amen. When we are filled with his word, then you know what? That word comes out. Just like if you are filled with Spider-Man Homecoming. Is that right? Then you just talk. Yeah. So if you want to speak to your friends about the Lord, then you need to be filled with the Lord. Amen. Practically, you need to be filled with his word. Amen. And how do you get filled with his word? Right? How do you get filled with his word? I would say is, okay, so this is kind of like there is a progression here, right? So in order to speak, we need to be filled. Okay? So our filling allows us to speak. So in order to be filled, like our brother said, practically we need to allow the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Okay? So and that is, let's read that verse again. Colossians 3:16. Okay. The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with strings in your hearts to the God. Yeah. Or maybe before we touch Colossians, I just want to read you one more verse, and that's in Luke 6:45. Okay, you don't have to go to save time. I'm just going to read this. This is the Lord speaking. It says, "The good person out of the good treasure of the hearts produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the hearts the mouth speaks." So whatever you fill with, if you fill with the Lord, then the Lord comes out. If you're filled with Spider-Man Homecoming comes out, right? So what we need is to be what? So actually, our speaking should be an issue of what? of what we fill with, the abundance, what we have filled in our hearts. And we need to fill our hearts with the Word of God. And so what we need is we need to allow this word to dwell in us richly, like Colossians says. And like our brother said, that means what? Have, number one, have a deposit of word in you. Amen. Sometimes you want to say something and you're not sure, how do I tell this person about the Lord? Like, oh, what is the Lord like? What is, and we're maybe afraid. Someone asked me, well, what is Jesus? I said, oh, what's Jesus? Who is Jesus? Do you know how to answer that question?
Jesus is our life.
What is our life?
God.
All right. But your friend may say, who is God? Oh, now you have to think. Okay, yes? What?
The person in you.
The person in you. Wait, I don't have God though. I am not saved. How do you know that I have God also?
Everyone has a spirit.
That's pretty good, but what is the spirit?
Something.
Something. Oh. Oh. So you know what I mean? Like we need to be equipped with the Word of God. And the first and foremost is what? You need to have a treasure store in you of even answer these simple questions. Who is God? Who is Christ? How is Christ different from Jesus? Are they the same? They're kind of the same, but how are they different? Right? So you need to, and to have this word, have God's word dwell in you. That is a lot. Give you every part of your heart.
Amen.
To what? To the word. Let the word. And how do you get to the word? How many of you have a habit of reading the word regularly? Okay. Good. I would say about half. And oh, the eighth grade brothers. I see only like three hands. Oh, I think the seventh grade brothers are doing a little better than you. Oh. But you know what? You can make it up. You know, to allow the word to what? To have this deposit of word, to have this word in us. First of all, the first and foremost, you know what? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you don't read, you don't, because the Bible tells us about God. The Bible tells us who the Lord Jesus is. The Bible tells us how man can get saved. Read the Bible. Read the Bible.
Amen.
Read the Bible.
Amen.
Regularly.
Amen.
Read it consecutively. Read it with a friend. Read it with your mom or dad. Read the Bible.
Amen.
When you read, something gets deposited every time. When you read, the Lord speaks to you. And actually, the word is the logos, but when you read, that allows the Lord to what? Turn these logos into the rhema. So that when you are speaking with your friends, something comes out, flows out. Why don't we read? Now, don't tell me you don't have time, okay? I don't believe young people don't have time, okay? I think one reason that you don't read is because you don't have a habit of reading. And one reason you don't have a habit of reading is what? Because that is not something that you're used to. How many of you here like, this is something called ginger scallion sauce. Ginger scallion sauce. Raise your hand. Oh, ginger scallion sauce. There's like, you have the scallions, chop into, like really chop into fine pieces, and the gingers, chop in, and then you put a little oil in there, and sometimes you put a little salt. Raise your hand. because I hope I'm not alone. Okay. Okay. So some of us. Okay. Well, I would say it's ginger scallion sauce. It's one of my favorite sauce. But I would say it's one of my favorite sauce now. But it was not when I was an 11-year-old boy. Actually, my parents love to, every time when they get something from outside, and they will, it always comes with these little containers with ginger scallion. And then you just pour on top of the maybe the roast meat, or it's really delicious. But I didn't, when I was little, I didn't like them. And it was the scallion, the ginger was a little spicy, but you know what? I don't know why, I don't know how. When I was growing up, I stopped eating it. Well, actually, you know what? That's probably because my parents made me. And I ate it again and again and again. And you know what? Before, I did not have a taste for ginger scallion sauce. But now, I feel like whatever meal that is, as long as there's ginger scallion sauce, it's going to be a good one. Why? Because I have a taste. Actually, I have a craving. A craving for... Okay, I'm not going to go into that because now I'm like thinking about ginger scallion sauce. But you know what? Let's read 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, okay? Okay, go.
As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good.
So this text says to the young believers that if you taste the Lord is good, you will have a craving. You will long for the milk of the word. You will long for the word. So how do we have this taste? By just eating, by coming to the Word, by tasting the Lord, by in His Word. And as you do that, then you know what? Maybe the first time may not be so tasty. Maybe the second time may not. Maybe the 1 week later is still not. But as you do it, when you're tasting the Lord, there will be something that you will be longing for. Do you know what? A lot of times, in my experience, I come to the Word. Sometimes it's because even though I'm tired, but I always want to come to the Word. Why? Because there's just something I like. I like coming to the Word. Why? Because this is what was that? The bubble tea? Yours is the bubble tea, right? I like sushi too, by the way. But it's the craving, just like the ginger sauce again. Okay? So what do we need? We need to develop this taste. Brothers and sisters, you need, if you want to speak, you need to have a taste. If you need to speak God's word, this is all. Okay? If you want to speak God's word, to have a normal Christian life, you need to start with a taste for His word. And this taste is developed when you, what? When you just come and eat, enjoy the word. And I would say even in a simple way, just read. Treasure the word. Treasure the Bible. You may not have that much taste now, but as you read, something will develop. Something will come out. And actually, you know what? That is that. And the word will start operate. Well, what? Will operate, will dwell in you, will give you speaking, so that you will what? You will fill, right? And actually, one way, first, and it will be filled with the word, so that when you meet your friend, you'll be speaking about the word. It becomes spontaneous, just like that little sponge, right? I don't need to, like, wring it. Just swing it. everybody gets water. Right? So I would say also one more thing. One thing to this. You see the arrows? Actually, this arrow, it goes both ways. If you want to what? You want to be filled with the Spirit? You want to be filled with the Lord? Actually, in Ephesians, it says what? Ephesians says, be filled in Spirit, what?
Speaking.
So actually, it goes both ways. If you want to be filled, speak. Just like a hose, right? Just like a hose. If you want to what? If you want to get water to pass through, you have to open one end. And open both ends, actually. Fill on one end and let the water out the other end. Uh-huh. So, brothers and sisters, practical way is actually, in this case, to be filled in Spirit by speaking is speaking in the church meetings.
Amen.
And also speaking to your friends. How many of you have spoken in during the summer school? You stood up, not here, testing, but yeah? Okay. Leo, do you remember what you spoke? Yeah.
I think I forget.
Louder.
I think I forget.
You think you forget? Okay. Who remembers what you spoke in the meeting? Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, just like after you know, after a message like this, and then you stood up and you share something.
Oh, okay.
A little louder, so everyone can. Okay, to preach the gospel, right? Oh, how many of you remember what you prayed for two nights ago, right? Yeah. So you remember? Okay, so. So those are the meetings that you remember. Those are the meetings that you enjoy the most. Why? Because you spoke. In the meeting that you did not speak, do you remember the title of that message? Oh. You don't. You don't have so much of a, right? Why? Because you didn't speak. Somehow, some way, God created us with a mouth that is connected to our spirit.
Amen.
The physical is connected to the spiritual. And don't ask me why. I'm not a medical doctor, nor a medical doctor be able to explain to you why. But when you speak, the spirit flows.
Amen.
When you speak, there will be the infilling.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, you need to speak.
Amen.
But foremost, I would say you need to come to the Word.
Amen.
Read the Bible. Let the Word dwell in you richly. So I think with the, maybe, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to stop here. And we're going to have a time to pray, and then the brothers will tell you what to do next. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's take out the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. Let's read the bold together, and then brothers A, sister B, brother C, sister D, and then let's all read E together. Okay? It's fine. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. We must live a proper human Christian life, a prophesying life, so that we may be proper speaking ones in the church meetings. Brothers.
We must love the Lord.
Sisters.
We must be revived every morning by the Lord.
Amen. Brothers.
We must abide in the fellowship with the Lord daily and hourly.
Amen. Sisters. Amen. All together. We all have to be desperate to build up a habit of speaking in any meeting. Amen. One more time. E. We all have to be desperate to build up a habit of speaking in any meeting. Amen. So let's start with this meeting. No, it's not our habit to speak in the meeting, right? But we must build up a habit to speak in any meeting. So we will give you 10 minutes. Just stand up where you are and the microphone will come to you.
I enjoyed the point that we have to come to the world daily, and even at first, if we don't enjoy it, we'll slowly begin to crave the word, and we'll realize how sweet this word is.
What I enjoyed is that we have, when we express the Lord, it's like we're representing Him to everyone else. And we have to represent our Lord to people who don't believe in Him.
I enjoy that whatever we are filled with, that's what we speak of. So we need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us virtually.
I enjoy that.
Sorry, is anyone going? Okay, you can go. It's too big.